Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
All right. Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. Laura Camrath, how are you?
I'm good. We're squeezing into one pane here so we can do a interview with a remote guest today.
Well, this man's on the move. He's hard to track down. He's been all over the country today and was nice enough to not make us reschedule, even though he was just busting into his hotel room, just getting on internet just in time for the show. So let me introduce our guest, Laura. One of the things that we like to do on the show is try to inspire our audience by the stories of thought leaders, entrepreneurs. And in my opinion, we have one of the best on today. His name is Steve Rosenberg. And Steve, I got to know through a company here locally called Empire Industries.
Okay.
They're a property management group, and he's the co-founder, co-owner, and president of this group. On top of many other things that he does, he's an author, a public speaker, is the host of a radio show, and just a few other things, Steve. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show Steve Rosenberg.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yes, thank you for coming. So we'd like to start with a fun fact. Laura, you know anything fun about Steve?
Well, I know that he's an endless number of fun facts about Steve. But, I mean, the one I think is the most fun is he not only flies airplanes, but what plane is it that you fly, Steve?
I fly the Boeing 787, the Dreamliner.
The Dreamliner. This is like the epic plane of all planes.
I will admit it's a pretty cool thing to fly. That's for sure.
Yeah, and he also dabbles in a lot of things, including also real estate. He's a pilot. And how long have you been a pilot, Steve?
Well, I started flying when I was 19 years old.
Wow.
I'm going to date myself, but I've been with the current company right now for 20 years,
wow.
Continental/United Airlines. So for that, I flew for a company called TWA, which they don't even exist anymore. But I've put some miles on my body. We'll say that.
Well, that's pretty cool. And we thank you for that because I'm actually going to the Philippines on vacation next week. So we need guys like you to fly us all around the world.
It's a lot of time in the Philippines, actually.
Oh, wow.
So he's well-traveled, too.
Yeah.
You're dating an airline pilot, right?
Yeah, my boyfriend flies for United Express Jets. So he's off, I don't know, he was here and there already today. So
something about the man in the uniform.
Yeah.
So Steve, let me ask you something, and you brought up a good point, because has been into real estate investing for a number of years. And one of the things I want to ask you is tell us about a big idea that you've had in your career, and let's dive a little deep into that.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, my story is a little bit different than probably most people. I like to tell people I never really wanted to get into real estate. I never wanted to own a business. I was very happy just being an airline pilot. That was my life. And I was very, you know, it's one of those things that most people that become airline pilots, that's what they love to do. They do it out of love. And it's one of those things that you've always wanted to do as a little kid. And so on September 10th of 2011, I had the best, safest, secure job in the world, without a care in the world, carefree. And then on September 12th, I had the most unsecure job in the world. And actually on September 13th, I was sent a furlough notice saying basically that my job and my industry may no longer exist. And for that to happen, it's one of those things that you realize that the illusion of a safe, secure job and someone else employing you is anything but. And it's actually the most unsafe, most unsecure thing that exists. And what it made me realize was that if something happened again, out of my control, had nothing to do with 9/11, I wasn't even flying for the airline that it affected, but it had affected me. And it made me realize that if I'm not in control of my own destiny and I don't start taking some serious steps that, you know, any hiccup in the industry, I would be on the street with, you know, 50,000 other airline pilots looking for a job. And so I started looking and learning about real estate. I really liked the idea of owning real estate because it was something that could be leveraged, meaning I could own a property, get rent coming in without having to do a lot of work, or I thought not a lot of work. But I liked the concept. And what I realized was all the people that were tied to wealth at some point in their life or history was somehow tied to real estate. And I kept finding that connection as I kept reading and learning. So I bought some properties, I bought some apartment complexes, bought some low-end houses, which was a huge disaster and failure and a kick in the teeth. But I learned a lot of lessons from that. And from that spawned a management company, which is what I have today. So if you ask me what my big idea was, I would say it was basically going through 9/11 and coming out of it with a strategy of some type of safety and security that I can control at some level.
Right. So basically you were an entrepreneur because the bottom fell out, or at least you felt that it could, and it enabled you, or it made you act in a way where you can have more control in your future, of your life, and that's a great place to start. And I like it that you admitted right off the bat that you had to have a few failures along the way before you got to the ultimate idea, and expressed how easy you thought it was. We hear this all the time, and then find out, man, running these companies, or even if it's, you know, running real estate, is challenging. So that's good.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you don't know what you don't know. And, right. You know, you read books and you learn as much as you can, and you try your best. And for anyone starting a business or anything, you know, if your perception is that you're going to come out, you know, white, untouched, no dirt marks on you, you have the wrong expectations. And so that when you fail, you think that you have failed, and that's not a failure. To me, it's a lesson. If you take it as a failure and you don't learn from it, then yes, it is a failure. And we learned early on, we were very good at failing. We did a lot of failing. Mm-hmm. I've got a whole story on that, which is, it's kind of comical, but you know, we learned what we should not be doing because there's no one there to teach you that. You know, they teach you how to buy properties. They teach you how to buy real estate, all these courses and classes, but nobody actually teaches you when the rubber meets the road after you own the property. And that's really where there should be people teaching you, in my opinion. That's where there's a big lack in this industry. Maybe because there's not as much money as helping people buy properties, I don't know. But we definitely learned some very valuable lessons that we teach now to other people so that they can avoid what the mistakes that we made.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I haven't seen you speak, and I can't wait to. Next time you're in Houston, you're going to have to send me a note. But you speak on topics, it sounds like, that people just aren't telling you. They're not sharing with investors. It seems like you're filling that void that's out there.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it is it's really a mindset shift, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, people have to learn. They have to learn the value of leverage. They have to learn the value of systems and procedures and policies. You know, I preach emphatically now that if you own one property, you own a business. You have income, you have loss, you have profit. You need to have a business plan. Even if it's one property, you know, you can get sued just as easily for one property as you can for 50. And a lot of people, the reason so many investors fail, one out of three landlords are in some form of lawsuit or litigation every year. It's because they don't run it like a business. They don't treat it seriously. And I think the biggest challenge with that is because they live in a house, they equate that to having a rental property. And it's really completely the opposite. What I explain to people is you own four walls and a roof. The business running underneath those four walls and a roof is the rental property business. And that you need to have structure and systems for, because there's a lot of laws that protect tenants. And there's a lot of pitfalls that could come out and bite you if you don't know what you're doing. And we got bit by many pitfalls. I mean, we had some serious challenges by doing a lot of wrong things, and luckily nothing devastating, but you know, it got to the point that we really had to realize, like, what are we doing? And the reality was, is we weren't running it like a business. That's what it boiled down to. Hmm.
We've touched on in a number of our podcasts the value of mentorship and surrounding yourself with people who have experience doing what you're doing. So it's great that you're helping other people to serve as kind of a mentor and providing that training and guidance.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, you know, obviously, if you think about it, it's in our best interest if we help an investor understand the value of owning property, yeah, and they understand why they're doing it. And, you know, a lot of times when I talk to investors, or even if I talk to people that ask me business help, and I don't consider myself a coach or a business guru or anything, but, you know, me and my business partner, Pete, we've been coached for the last 6 years every week by the same business coach. So we have very sound fundamentals, and we're very, you know, we're always listening to audiobooks and self-education, and we get our team members to do coaching. And what we've learned through all this is, if we can help, you know, let's say an investor and he wants to, you know, buy properties, but maybe they're looking at things wrong. And what I mean by that is, when you have an investor and they look at a deal, I'll ask them, why are you involved in real estate? What's the reason you're doing this? And, you know, a lot of times people buy properties just to buy properties because they think it's a good deal. And I was one of those people. The reality was, is because I didn't have a business model wrapped around those properties, I bought bad deals that didn't align with my goals. So when I ask people, you know, what's the goal? Why are you even doing this? And they say they don't know. I tell them, you know what? You need to focus on why you're even doing this, whether it's a business or property or whatever, before you even start doing it. Because the entrepreneur will start just grinding away. The purposeful person, they will sharpen the axe before they start swinging. And I tell people, you need to sharpen that axe, create the business plan of anything that you're doing, really think it through on the 20-year plan before you start swinging away, because it's just wasted energy. And again, I know that because I had about 35 really bad investment properties at one point. And the biggest challenge of anyone who's an entrepreneur or a business owner is they don't understand leverage, and they don't understand the value of the stress when you're in a bad deal, what that does to you mentally. And I tell people, I go, when you have those sleepless nights not knowing how you're going to pay those mortgages because you don't have a plan and you went too deep too fast, it's not a good place to be. And I tell people, you know, we touch that stove 35, 40 times with bad deals. So we're very emphatic to tell people, look, plan it first before you go and start doing these other strategies. Figure out why you're doing this, because once you're in this world and you're in this game, it's not the same. You know, it's not very nice to you, we'll say, and it can be very sharp, and it will take everything that you have, and not just money, but it'll take your time, it'll take your family, it'll take your stress. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to scare people, but unless you've been in that position like I have, it's not a good place to be.
So that being said, do you think it would have been possible? I mean, hindsight's 2020, but it would it have been possible for you to do that differently at that time? And what would it have taken for that to look different?
It's a good question. Obviously, we could have done it differently. You know, what was funny is when Pete and I used to do a lot of, back in the day, it wasn't even called flipping. It was kind of wholesaling properties. But I don't know what they didn't even call it back then. Now everyone's doing it. But this is back in 2002, 2003. And I did really well at it. And I actually made enough money that I went in partnerships and bought an apartment complex. And we were going to all the investment clubs. And, you know, we knew what to do. We actually owned an apartment complex for several years. The problem was we left the apartment complex. We exited. We had an exit strategy. We sold that complex. Then we had a bunch of extra cash, and we decided, well, let's just start buying houses. But we didn't have a plan, and we didn't have a goal. We just saw deals and thought, let's buy them. So it's like, why buy one? Let's buy 20. So in 1 year, we bought about 20 properties. Well, it turns out these were bad properties because and when I say bad properties, they weren't bad deals. They were bad deals for us because they didn't align with what we thought they should do because we didn't take the time. And so where I'm getting with this is, because we are so emotionally attached to trying to make this work more for our egos, we kind of let all the rules that we knew go out the window, and we weren't running it like a business. We were running it reactionary. And when you're reactionary in your business, you're in chaos mode. And when you're in chaos mode, you're not in control, and you're definitely not making money. And we were just making, we were making decisions out of fear. We weren't being proactive and planning things out. And that, so we knew what to do. We just weren't doing it. And finally we got, you know, everyone hits their bottom, and we hit our bottom at this one day. It's kind of a, it's a funny story, but we hit our bottom, Pete and I, and we decided this is it. We're either going to sell them, we're going to turn them over to a management company, or we're going to figure this out ourselves. That was our, that was our plan. And that's when we actually started to run it like a business. The problem was, is this was in 2009. No one could get a loan because of the recession, so that wasn't an option. Mm-hmm. We tried to turn it over to a management company, and lo and behold, shocker, none of the management companies would take them. They said, we don't want these properties because they're too time intensive. You'll never make money on them. So we were stuck. We, I think we had about 35 of these houses, and we didn't know what to do. So the next strategy was, okay, we have to figure this out ourselves. We have to sit down. We got to create structure, and we have to hold each other accountable to run this like a business. We ended up kicking out about 70% of our deadbeat tenants, which let's face it, they weren't paying rent anyways. And that's how we started structuring this thing to make it go. And that was the inception of Empire Industries. And we actually hired a business coach. That was one of the smartest things we did, is we went and sought out a business coach, took him the idea, the concept of what we had, and said, do we even have a business here? And he looked at it and he said, well, you have marketability, you have scalability, you have opportunity. Technically, yes, you have a business. You guys know nothing about business, and you will run it into the ground because you don't even know the basics of running a business. So we hired him on the spot. So now we had a coach and we have a business. But that was the inception. So we made that decision. We couldn't afford to hire him, but we couldn't afford not to hire him. Yeah. And we said, okay, if we hire this guy, we're going to do everything he says, and we are not going to, you know, we may fight, kick and scream, but at the end of the day, we're going to do what he says. And the reality is without him, we would not be where we are today. We still, to this day, go see him every week. We're held accountable by him, and he constantly ratchets it up the levels of our accountability and our speed. And so some of the things we're doing now are obviously different than what we were doing when we were still trying to figure things out. But, you know, we still leave there with that pit in our stomach going, man, I don't feel comfortable about this, but okay, we got to, you know, if he says do it, let's do it, you know? So so I don't know if that answered your question, but we knew what to do. We just weren't doing it, basically.
Yeah. So tell me a little about how you found or selected your business coach, or how you met him. Was he specific to real estate, or how did you find out about him?
Well, it's funny. So I'll back up. When we were buying the apartment complexes, there's a group in Houston that buys a lot of real estate apartment complexes. And that's how Pete and I met. We were both members of this group. And then we went in partnerships and we bought this apartment complex together. Years later, once we started Empire, we came back as a vendor, as a property management vendor for this company. And one of the ladies we knew, very nice friend of ours, and she kind of knew we were having some struggles because, you know, as you're growing, you don't really know much about business and accounting and, you know, stuff that, I mean, I'm an airline pilot. I didn't know these things. I was an investor, and we were building this model based on our investor needs and what other investors needed, because we were getting a lot of clients coming to us saying, man, that's the same problem I'm having. Could you manage our house? So basically we were getting all these properties piled on top of us. But we didn't know what to do. We had no idea on the business aspect of it, structure, org charts, vision. I mean, we didn't know any of that. And so she tells us, hey, we've got this business coach coming in to speak to all the vendors. You guys should sit in the front row, is what she told us. And we're like, oh, okay, that's odd. All right. So we go there, and this business coach starts talking basically about running a business and structure, org chart, synergy, mastery, delivery, niche. And it was almost like he was talking directly to us. It was like it almost felt like a spotlight was shining on us, basically saying the whole reason I'm here was for you two guys, is what we felt like. And so he was not real estate specific. He is just business specific. We've been with him ever since. It's a franchise that's actually around the world. It's called Action Coach. We have done a lot of great things and a lot of great learnings from him and from the founder, who incidentally, the founder of the whole thing, Brad Sugars, ended up becoming a business partner of ours in our company.
Well, that I didn't know. Yeah, our relationship actually started at Action Coach. So they've got a brilliant, hardworking marketing guy named Kevin. And he was in my networking group that they held at Action Coach. And so that's where I was kind of following and learning about these guys. But I didn't know Brad Sugars was a partner of y'all's. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, he, you know, he's basically, I mean, a genius, obviously, brilliant guy. And so our goal with him is he's showing us how to grow this nationally and internationally as well. So we're basically he's guiding us. So he's a partner of ours in Empire. And we're getting pushed further. You know, it's not open one city. Let's open three cities at once. So, you know, we're getting again that the rules change and they get a little more complicated. The obstacle course is more in depth now than it was when we first started. But, you know, we feel that Pete, my business partner, he's a very good systems person. He and I are, you know, complete opposites, which is what you need. You need a visionary and you need an integrator. In any good company. And Pete is the integrator and I'm the visionary. And we're very good at, we stay in our lanes. We don't step on each other's toes. And we're very good in structure and organization. And, you know, my job is to be out there on, you know, speaking on stages and doing that stuff and being the face of the company. And Pete's job is to basically make sure it runs and stuff it all together and make sure we can systemize it.
All right. So let me ask you a selfish question, Steve. I need that compliment. So you and I align. That's who I'm supposed to be. And I'm seeking that systems guy. Cause I, you know, over time you learn that ain't me. Mm-hmm. You know, I am not the one that's going to dive in and create those systems. When did you know that you guys had that compliment?
He and I were very opposites always. What was interesting about Pete and I, our relationship, is we always put the business first. You know, We didn't have to agree or explain to each other that we would eat last. It was always assumed if we hired employees, the employees would come first. So just fundamentally, we understood the concept. We're not greedy. We understand, hey, you know, we're in this for the long play. You know, we'll make our money downstream. Right now, we need to create the infrastructure. We've got families. We have people that they're depending. We got to make sure they're taken care of, right? So that's the first thing. And we both agreed on that without even having to talk about it. We agreed on it. As we started growing and we started doing things, we just kind of gravitated towards our own positions. You know, he doesn't really care to be in the spotlight. I don't really care to be in the office. And so it just kind of everyone, and as the company grew and we started getting more and more staffing, I started being in charge of sales and marketing. He started being in charge of accounting and operations. He gravitated towards that. I gravitated towards what I did. Now, I don't know if you're too familiar with disc profiling, but what I would say is if you started doing disc profiling of yourself and other people, the disc profiling is a personality profiling, and you basically hire on disc when you're looking for someone because that personality is a certain type. So Pete and myself's disc profile are almost polar opposite, which is really what you need to have. So it's not a matter of having the conversation. If you know, you can hire someone, you don't need to make them a partner in your company. You can hire an employee. A great book is called Rocket Fuel. I would recommend you read by Gino Wickman. And it talks about the visionary and the integrator roles and how you have to have any successful business, whether it's McDonald's, whether it was Ford, Apple Computers, Microsoft, there was an integrator and a visionary in all of these. So it's one of those things that you need to have it if you want to grow your company, because otherwise it's going to be lopsided. We joke that if I ran the company by myself, we'd probably have 10,000 properties and it would be chaos. Nobody would talk to each other. Rents would never come in. I would be making deals with everybody. If it was Pete's company, there would be three doors, three houses we'd manage. They'd run perfectly. No one would ever need to talk to each other, and it would be perfectly systemized. So we meet somewhere in the middle, and that's kind of how we get along well. And we really keep any – it's very hard in the beginning to stay in your lane because I may think I want to do something better, and he may think he wants to do something better. But it's a matter of that mutual respect is what we found.
Perfect. So you're like a high DI and he's a high SC or something like that, right? That complements each other perfectly.
Yeah, I'm an I, and believe it or not, he doesn't believe it, but I, you know, being an airline pilot, I have to have some C in me, which is some you know, standardization and stuff like that. I don't like it. I'll do it. It's not my best, you know. I don't like paperwork. I don't like sitting in the offices. I don't like that. I can do it. I mean, obviously anyone can do anything, but I'm not very good at it. I mean, obviously flying planes I'm good at, but, you know, as far as sitting in the office and, you know, he's you know, he made a joke one day. He said, you know, I think I'm going to take my phone out of my office. And I'm like, why would you do that? He's like, because I don't want people calling me. I'm like, but you're the CEO. You need to have a phone. And to his point, he's right. I mean, we have staff, we have leadership. We have a leadership team in our company. The leadership team handles things. That's not his job, but that's just how he thinks, you know, I just shake my head. You know, I look on his phone, he'll have 198 unanswered text messages. I'm like, how could you have that many? Like, that blows my mind, you know? And he's like, I don't need to talk to him. I'm like, okay.
And you mentioned Wickman earlier. Have you guys looked at all at EOS? I mean, you're at that size where that really applies, right?
Yeah, we actually implement EOS in our business. We do leadership meetings every Tuesday. We go offsite every quarter. We do our quarterly rocks. Yeah, we are 100% inside of leadership, the EOS program, and it works really well. And you know, I think any of those systems work good as long as you are committed to doing it. If you're not committed to the system, it's not going to work. And, you know, what I have found, and I've done some speaking on like leadership and goals, the biggest challenge, I think, you know, is that the leaders of a company are really not leaders. They're there because they were the first ones and they started the company, but they're not held accountable for anything. They don't have any KPIs. They don't answer to anybody. And I tell them, maybe you're the problem. You may be the one being fired. Because just because you're the owner of a business doesn't mean that you shouldn't be fired if you're not doing your job. And so, you know, they kind of think about that. And I was in Australia speaking at an event for a property management franchise. And I asked them, I said, so, you know, who are the owners of the, they call them principals there, but who are the principals of the company? And they raised their hand. I said, so who do you answer to? Who do you turn your weekly or daily KPIs into? And they said, no one. And I said, well, why are you any different than anyone else? You have shareholders. You have board of directors. You have employees. You are responsible for them. Why do you get a pass? If you don't want to do the job, then you shouldn't be in that position, because that position has roles. And, you know, you get the people you deserve, right? So if you don't have a vision for your company, if you're being a leader and you don't really have a vision and you're not steering people in that right visionary direction, you're going to get crappy employees. When you get crappy employees, you get subpar work, which is subpar service for your clients. Mm-hmm. And then they say, oh, all the employees I have suck. It's like, well, maybe they don't suck. Maybe you're not inspiring and envision giving them the vision of where the company's going so that you inspire the right people to come work for you. And if you can't do that, you're getting what you deserve.
That's a really good perspective. A lot of good perspectives.
Yeah.
And Steve did offer to come back on live next time he's in Houston and we have an opportunity.
Awesome.
But we are going to get wrapped up. So a couple of things we like to ask. You already mentioned Rocket Fuel by Wickman. Is there any other books that you recommend our listeners look into?
You know, one of the best books I ever read was 10X by Grant Cardone. I really like the guy. It resonates with me. I like Andy Frisella. He has a podcast, MF CEO. It's a great perspective of down-to-earth, hardcore entrepreneurs. I really like him. Ed Milet's another one. You know, these are just people that are out. They're grinders. They're out just like all of us. They're working. They're trying to figure a way to make it work. So I like those.
Awesome.
Terrific.
So do you have any technology or applications, mobile apps, desktop apps, anything that helps you do what you do?
Yeah, especially for me traveling. I mean, I was in Australia this weekend. I'm in Dallas. Yeah, so I like Evernote. I live inside of Evernote, and we've been using Asana lately, and we really like that for team collaboration. So when you want things done, it really works well. So I would recommend those two.
Well, let's get into what's next for Empire, but also for you, Steve. What's coming up? What can we look for?
Well, Empire, we are growing in multiple cities. We're looking to start purchasing, doing acquisitions in multiple cities. So that's on our forefront. I was in Silicon Valley yesterday talking with some guys. But that's definitely our plan for Empire. Personally, I've got a book that's coming out. It should be out hopefully by the end of the year. And I've got like 7 eBooks on my website that people can download as far as investing and that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're just trying every day, like just like you guys, just grinding, trying to be better.
Awesome.
Tell me a little bit more about the book before we let you off the hook. What's the topic?
But the book is basically my life from 9/11 on. It basically starts at 9/11 and basically what I just told you is a very abbreviated version of what Pete and I went through, how we like systemized the company, the pains of owning these bad properties. I mean, it just, it goes in depth. And it's funny, the ghostwriter that's basically making it not be like a third grader wrote it. He emailed me back. He goes, I got to say, he goes, you have a very funny story. I've heard a lot of stories. He goes, I was laughing at several parts in your book. I'm like, I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, you're laughing at my life. But
that's tremendous. And one of the things I like to tell people that come on the show, we call you Big Idealists that come on the Big Ideas podcast. Whenever that comes out, we'll push that onto our channels and support you on it, Steve. So
appreciate it.
And again, we'd love to have you back. We appreciate you coming on. And
Can you tell us, Steve, where can people find your info?
Sure. They can go to my website, empireindustriesllc.com. They can look us up online. They can find me on Facebook. I'm all over social media, Instagram, all that. You Google me, you'll find me. I do about two or three video blogs a week that get uploaded to our website about educational topics, how to help investors. So I got about 200-300 video blogs on our website. Just, you can watch them for free if you're bored. I'm very, very available for people to get a hold of me so that I can help them. So if they want some help, they just want to, pick my brain a bit, I've got no problem doing that. If I help more people, it just, I feel it comes back many fold if you do that.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Steve. It's been awesome having you on the show. Thanks for joining us from afar.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You guys got a great show, and I wish you guys all the success. And I look forward to coming down and being on the show in person next time.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again, man. This has been great. Listen, thank you for everybody for listening, and now get out there and close some business.
See you later.
Bye, y'all.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas, Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.